I thank you for the opportunity to be able to speak with you today, and I promise you that I'm not going to stand up here for the next 20 minutes and give you the whole cancer services spiel and why you should support us. Besides, it's not that time of year. It's actually the United Way annual campaign, so if I was going to give you any spiel, I'd tell you about United Way, but that's not why I was asked to speak today, I don't think. Instead, I want to share with you something that I have learned about a life of faith that has been informed by my work at Cancer Services, but it's also been informed by some of my life experience, my previous work in church, even leaving church and staying away from church for a while. I have something that I've learned that I really want to tell you. I am nervous, though. I told Ella Ray, my daughter, I was going to be preaching today, but she's with her mother this weekend. I said, "So you won't get to hear me." She said, "Whew, thank goodness I don't have to listen to you preach, Daddy." Not the vote of confidence I was looking for. She immediately made up for it, though. She said, no. I would be sad. I said, "Why would you be sad?" She said, "You wouldn't be able to sit with me and watch me draw." The life of a four-year-old shows how impressed she is with your sermons, G. Daddy. But it is always nerve-wracking speaking here because you all know me. You watch me grow up. The Myers, the Walkers, and the Killebrews have the patience of Job. I was in youth group here. I came of age here. You know everything about me, all my bad things. Maybe some of my good, but all my bad things you know. And I'm by no means a saint. I walk to the beat of my own theological drum. I have my issues. I fully admit them. I almost turned down the opportunity to speak here today, so I didn't know if it would almost be distracting. But I felt the need to really share with you what I've learned. And hey, if you can't be vulnerable with your home church, and we got bigger problems to worry about than my issues. Besides, home church has taken on a whole new meaning for me. This is now my home in more ways than one. Song and I, as my dad mentioned, we're your new neighbors. Literally, we recently purchased our home on West 4th Avenue. I love the neighborhood. I love it. I love my house, our house, which was built in 1934. I love the fact that when I moved in, there is a smiley face sticker, an old smiley face sticker, stuck on the closet wall. And I can't prove it, but I like to imagine maybe it's a sticker Lonnie Davis gave the lenders. I mean, it's one of those stickers. I love living here. I love being your neighbor. But let me tell you just a real quick story about our move. I have this glider chair that my brother gave me when Ella Ray was born. Now, it's not a rocker. It doesn't rock. It glides. It glides back and forth. So it's got a really big base, like bigger than your average lazy boy recliner. Well, we had it in ER's old room in the house we rented. And when we moved in our new house, we wanted to put it in her bedroom. But here's the thing. Remember, our new house was built in 1934. The door frames are a little bit different than the house we were renting, which was built in the 90s. I looked at that door, I looked at that chair, and I thought, that's not going to fit. There is no way It's too wide. It's not going through that door. Enter Kep. I think almost everybody in this town knows Kep. Kepley Moving and Storage. You seen the old truck around? Old man Kep. Kep moved me when I moved into town from Churchland. He moved Song and I into our new home. He moved my family when we first came to Lexington back in 1990. One of our patients at Cancer Services said his first job was working for Kep. And this patient is in his twilight years. I think Kep has been moving people around this town for a very long time. And what he does is amazing. The man shouldn't be able to move stuff the way he does at the age he is. But it's just like him and one other guy, and they can move anything. And he works with a smile and the most amazing attitude you'll ever see. I'm pretty sure the whole time he was moving us, he was whistling hi-ho, hi-ho from Snow White. I asked him, Kep, you think you can get this chair into that room? Sure, he said. Well, I was on the bedroom floor working on this chest drawer, getting it level. Ella Ray's bedroom suite once belonged to her great-great-grandmother. It's from the early 1900s. It's great. We love it. But it requires a little extra love and attention, especially when it's sitting on carpet instead of hardwood and trying to get it level. So I was down there laying on the floor, like sliding little pieces of paper one by one underneath this leg. And here they come with the chair. So I stop what I'm doing. And I sit back in the corner of the room and I just watch. It doesn't fit. It's not coming through that door. So they back up and they angle the chair a different way. And it doesn't fit. There's no way they're getting it through that door. So they back up and they angle the chair yet another different way. And it doesn't fit. So they back up one more time and they angled the chair a different way and it doesn't fit. Aren't they getting tired of holding up this chair by now? I would have been like yelling or trying to force it through the door, but it's not coming. It's not going. And so they back up and Kep gets his man right in the doorway and he stops. A little to the left, Kep says, now come up. Now about an inch to the right, Kep says. Come down. Now move it this way. All right, now take one step. Just one step with your right foot. Now just half a step with your left, Kep says. Now come down. Now I just want you to lift up just a little bit with your right arm. Now bring your left arm down. All right, now just move your arm in just a bit. Now step forward. That's it. Come on. And that chair came through the door without even touching the door frame. And it took him about 10 to 15 minutes. But he got that chair in. It was amazing. It was miraculous. Apparently, I'm a whole lot more amazed by this than y'all are. But I'm telling you, if you would have been there, it was amazing. He knew he could get that chair through. He knew it. He knew it. And the whole time I sat there and I doubted. It was one of the most amazing exercises of patience I have ever seen. Patience. It's a virtue, right? But man, is it a difficult thing to master. And that's what I want to share with you today. I want to tell you, to encourage you, to have a patient faith. You need to have a patient faith. Patience is the ability to undergo stress, suffering, distress, even annoyance without arising to anger and remaining calm. I have never been a patient person. In fact, I've always been more of a bombastic person. So for me to realize this and tell you, you need a patient faith, it's a miracle of God, but you need to have a patient faith. What did Ecclesiastes that Gary read said? Better to be patient in spirit than proud in spirit. So why do we need patience in our faith? Why do we need patience in our spiritual journey with God? I don't have to answer that for you. You know the need for patience. You know that life is a journey with twists and turns, ups and downs, going around and around and around. And many times, we never even see the turns and the twists and the mountaintops and the valleys and the peaks and the drop-offs. We never even see them coming, and they can hit us upside the head. You know what I hear more than anything else when I first do an intake with the cancer patient? I never thought it would happen to me. I never thought I would be facing this disease. Sometimes life doesn't happen like you plan it. And we go through difficult times, hard times. You know, life isn't a cakewalk. It's not a fairy tale. It's real. And it's unfair. And sometimes it's rough. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes life can be hard, but you know that. I don't need to tell you that. You've lived. You've been through it. You've experienced it. The question is can we be patient enough to stand on the promises even when everything else has fallen apart? You ever thought about all these people in this sanctuary right now and all the stories that come together when we gather as a congregation? You ever thought about all the life experiences that all these people have seen in here? What everybody's been through? The joys, the triumphs, the tragedies, the sadness, the happiness. I bet there's some amazing stories in here. There is a lot of lived wisdom. When we have support group at Cancer Services, it amazes me to look around, to look in the face of all of our survivors, to think about what they have seen, what they have been through, to hear their stories, to help them give voice to what it is they've experienced, to hear about their lives full of joy and full of triumph, full of tragedy, full of happiness, full of sadness. Man, it's real and it's raw and it's life. And it's uplifting, and it's where I've learned to have a patient faith. I have learned to have a patient faith from cancer patients. Both the virtue patient, the word for the virtue patients, and the word for the noun patient. Did you know it has the same Latin root word, which basically means to undergo suffering? It's interesting to me. But cancer patients that we work with, they just seem to have a perspective on life that facing a disease like that gives you. People say all the time, man, I bet your job is hard. I bet it's depressing. No, it's not. Like I said, it's raw and it's real and it's life, and I love it. I love being hip deep in life and helping people. You know what's depressing? Sitting in a church finance meeting. That's depressing. Hearing people argue. Not that people ever argue here. Not that people ever argued at the previous church I worked at. But I have other minister friend types and I hear it happens. Actually getting to do ministry? That's good. And our patients have a patient faith. And they've taught me to be patient in my journey. One of our patients put it best when he said, you know what? I'm not ready to thank God just yet for my cancer. I'm not ready to do that. But man, can I see how God has worked through it. That church is the patient faith. And that's the majority of our folks. We see it all the time. They live life with a sense of perspective, like I said, that most of us quite haven't gained yet. And they celebrate the good times and they go through the bad times with a sense of patience, knowing that God is still there working, maybe even behind the scenes, but God is still there working to make sure that something good is going to come out of every situation. The reading that Gary shared from Romans is perhaps one of my favorite in all of our holy scriptures. I mean, Paul talks about the ups and downs of life. He reminds us, and I find this so comforting, but he reminds us that even when life becomes so hard, we don't even have the words for it. We don't even know what to pray. Paul says, the Spirit's working for you. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what's the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. That's comforting. The Spirit is praying for us, sighing for us, groaning for us when we're struggling. My niece is a teenager. All the time she says, the struggle is real. Is that something the kids say today, Andy? The struggle is real? Well, I'm telling you, it is real, but the Spirit is real too. And when we're in the struggle, there's the Spirit interceding for us. And Paul then gets to the crux of what it means to have a patient faith when he says, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. He goes on to talk about some predestination stuff. If you want to hear about that, go to the Presbyterian Church today. But for the sake of time, let's skip ahead to the climax. Paul writes, I'm convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from that love of God. Even when our lives are falling apart, even when we're in the struggle, even when we've been diagnosed with cancer, God is working, shaping things, helping bring about good even in the worst of situations. Can we believe that? Can we have the patience to believe that God is working for good even when we're going through a hard time? I can stand up here today and I can say I'm blessed and I can see it. I have a partner who loves me and cares for me and takes care of me. I have a family who supports me. I have a daughter who's the light of my life. I have a job that I love and I live out my calling to help make Lexington and Davidson County a better place. I can see it today. But folks, 3 years ago, if you would have asked me what I think about the goodness of God, you wouldn't have wanted to hear the answer. I wasn't patient. I didn't understand what God was doing. I didn't understand how God was shaping me. Song told me that Marilyn Monroe once said, sometimes good things fall apart so that better things can be built up. So there you go. If both Paul and Marilyn Monroe said it, we're on to something. God works for good, even in the most difficult of situations. When I was going through that hard time in my life, there was God working through all my stuff, working through all my issues, working through everything life had thrown at me. There He was, standing in the doorway of eternity, saying, "Now a little to the left, now a little to the right, move it up, move it down. Move your arm." I didn't think there was any way that good could happen in my life, that something good could come out of what I was going through, that good could come walking through that door. But there was the Spirit groaning for me, and there was God working on it this way, working on it that way, a little to the left, a little to the right. Move it up, move it down. There, now, come through the door. And today, I can say that I'm blessed beyond belief. I can see the goodness that God has given to me. And so what I want to tell you is, if you are struggling, if you're going through something that you think nobody understands, if you're questioning, what is God doing? I want to tell you, be patient. Be patient. God is good. And all the time. Did you hear that? Do you remember what I said a minute ago about all the stories? Everything that everybody in here has lived, that has experienced. We've all probably have something we've been through. And yet we can say God is good. And all the time. And that is the patient faith. And all of us, all the people saying that, even though we have struggled and we've seen not only the highs but the lows of life, we can still say God is good. And all the time. That's gospel.